Really the power of the key. So I think I've reached another level.
I feel it coming from you. Good. I'm so glad.
So thank you for that.
Welcome, Michelle.
Yeah, that was a really great exercise. And lots of times when there's visualization and I can't see any pictures, I kind of want to tune out, but I didn't. And what I got and was similar to what Kelly was saying, like work from the magic, is like I was getting things turned around. I was starting from the wrong premise in that I realized that I haven't been doing my morning practices. And historically, when I do my morning practices and every boundary that comes from that place, I actually am much have a let's say just a stronger ability to hold the boundary. So that's my action step, is to start doing the things to do those practices. And then the gift that I got was a staff, which kind of went along with my the work we did in the shadow retreat, because I was the lighthearted sage, and it was like it came together, and the staff just came through my head and provided the backbone that I was feeling I wasn't having yesterday to hold my boundaries. So it was kind of all full
I love
circle.
it. I love it all so much. And I want to also just underscore this first point that you're saying. Like, with what I'm hearing for you is those morning practices are the grounded feet of the warrior pose. When you can have that grounded, the grounded feet that those practices give you, then you can set the boundaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that. Vlada.
I was so moved to complete something that has started a couple years ago. And the gift that I received from the warrior was came as a substitution of what now I understand is was representative of some rigid boundaries that I had about expressing myself. So a couple of years ago, I was in a group, a writing group that worked through the body, and I had this image of a part of my, actually a big part of my chest being in this armor, protective cast iron armor. And there was this window opening around the heart, but it had thick bars on and all that. It was a very disturbing, dark image. And little by little, it had started to shift. But today, my wise warrior gave me the gift that they gave me was this raw heart that was just like slightly scratched and had a little bit of blood coming out. And it was moving in my heart, in my hands. And then even before you said that they would put it somewhere in my in the our body, it actually had filled my entire chest. I was like, wow. And so it felt like a long process bridged for which was very moving. And then the part that I actually had to protect was again the same part that same heart, that sensitive heart. And just like Maria, it was amazing that we were in the same group when she was talking about her key, because I couldn't express like what is my boundary around it. And that is the boundary. I am able to tend to that heart, that sensitive heart for myself, and have discernment who I let in and how and what feels appropriate. It is sacred to protect that sensitive organ that can be easily bleeding.
Yes, it is sacred to protect that. And my sense is that a big piece of your creativity comes from that heart, too.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And what this is what we often find ourselves so guarded about, our most sacred things inside of us. So, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So we're going to take a break, and I'll tell you a little bit about what we're going to do when we get back. We're going to take a 10-minute break. And then when we get back, we're going to spend a good piece of time. I want to put our facilitator and practitioner hats on. I want to look a little bit at the curriculum development of the afternoon and just kind of like point out practitioner point of view, how we built some, the curriculum pieces, because I think it will be helpful for you, whether you're doing groups or one-on-one, to kind of see that through, especially with this content. And then we'll do a review of, when I say review of the last 2 days, we'll get to the important like points and, you know, what, how are we bringing this together to work with clients? And then from there, we'll start to move into our having a little bit of space to really honor this full year of our journey together and bring it to a beautiful, sacred ending. So let's come back. I'm going to be kind of stickler on the 10 minutes. So let's come back at 4:47 and we'll keep on going from there. I'll hang out for a minute if anybody needs anything. All right. So I wish we had another day. I'm so glad it wasn't only until 3:30 today. Like I thought when we started, since some years passed, it was only till 3:30. I'm glad we had this extra time. I wanted, like I said before break, I want to, let's go over some practitioner pieces. So first, let's just kind of take a look at the sequence of earlier in the afternoon. So before lunch break, I kind of introduced this idea of protection. And we did a little journaling, not even journaling, just answering some questions around what we're not, what's not being protected, et cetera. We had a little bit of a discussion. When we came back after break, I kind of did a little bit of a mini evocation of the wise warrior. And then from there, we did the visualization process, elevator, connecting in with the wise warrior. And then we drew a picture of what's wanting to be protected. And what that protection looks like as a boundary. And then we had time to process after that. First, anything that just want anybody want to comment or in terms of why I set it up that way, the piece and then the next piece and then the next piece and the next piece. From everything you know about transformation and human behavior, like everything we've learned, why did I set it up that way? Have I lost all of you? Is it too late in the day? Yeah, so Kelly's saying in the chat, and so is Inval, we started with the cognitive and the safety of the cognitive, and then we moved more into the embodied. We activated all four levels. What else? What else do you want to just pull on in terms of why I set it up the way I set it up? And you can put in the chat, or you can just take yourself off mute and share. How can you apply this? Even when you don't have hours in a session with even a one-on-one client, but how can you apply some of this to one-on-one work or to your group work, even if it's shorter form?
Anyone want to share? Yeah, Kelly, go ahead.
Oh.
And then Tina.
I don't know if this is where you're going, but to me, it just felt like scaffolding. It felt like we went in at like one level and then we kind of built it, and it's like creating more safety as we go in, and then we go to the next level, and they were just kind of like peeling back. And also, like, even to Maria's point, like there were parts that weren't resonating and she wasn't like getting in there, but then the last two, it's like something cracked open. And so it's giving all these different like entry points in a way. And that, I don't know, that's what I was feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple pieces in that, like first, just working towards the safety piece. And then when we have our, when we're working with our one-on-one clients, we can more easily go in and be like, oh, that's the, that is the right, like, because there's, you know, there's the dialogue, there's the intimacy, and we know that's exactly what that person needs. With a group, it's not always going to be like that, right? So kind of having the different pieces for, you know, different people to resonate and take what they're going to take. But also when we do have the luxury of having more time, like we have today, to go deeper, sometimes people need to cook in it, right? Like, and be in their resistance and then not in their resistance. And then this piece is working on them. And then that piece is working on them, right? And then it starts to all come together. So in, you know, it doesn't have to all be at once, whether it's group or one-on-one, but there is something about being in a longer container and letting it cook. And then this is also just a reminder, in your one-on-one work, pick things up session to session. I sometimes, when people share with me, it's like there are beautiful sessions happening, but then they're in their own little container and the thread isn't picked up as fully as it could be next time. Like, usually things need a while to cook to end up, you know, to get to where you want to go.
Can I add one other piece that I observed? Mm-hmm. That's just that there are parts that you tell us and you're like, this warrior is like this, or this one, you know, I'm not remembering the specifics, but like you're telling us those pieces. And even as I'm like implementing my program right now, I'm just realizing there's a part of the brain that needs to rest and not be exploring all the time. And so it's like creating safe space by you saying, oh, here's a structure. And then I'm going to drop you into it. I'm going to hold you there. And then we're going to explore. And it just makes it, it's like both rest and engage. And I find that is also really helpful.
Yeah, I love that. And I think the other piece in that is like, you get to be more of a teacher too with a group. Like sometimes one-on-one, that teacher part isn't, there isn't as much space for it or appropriateness. Although we are in it, but we do get to be more in that role in the group. Tina, did you want to share something?
I was pretty much saying the same thing you and Kelly were saying about the one-on-ones and how we can go through the layers, make them feel safe, but there's only so much time and their brain needs time to process, and it prepares them for the next session to go through the next layer. So it makes sense to do it that way, to me anyway.
Yeah, yeah, good. And we want to be thinking about homework also, right? Always homework. Even we spent 2 days on this right now, but I want each of you, as you've always heard me say, you know, if there was something here that came through that you were like, you know what, if I embodied that more, that I can see how that could be life-changing for me, embody it more. Come back to it. You have so many tools in your toolbox. Don't just like go on to what's the next new, you know, breakthrough. Stick with one of the breakthroughs that came through these 2 days. And for many of you, it's been variations of themes, right? Like you keep on this, it keeps on coming up, but in a deeper way, in a deeper way. Keep on going with that. Follow where that can lead you. Greg.
And so even without having been there, just in what you and Kelly were just talking about, and from what I know of you, Joanna, in that part where our brain gets to rest, when you're doing the teaching, you're also always in a place of my way is not the only way. And so as that is happening, it's also an opportunity to explore, okay, is this the thing for me, or do I need to make a little shift? Or so it's a time both to rest, but also to expand at the same time into what is our truth.
Yeah, I love that. How can I make this apply to me? Or what is the tweak so that it's meaningful for me? And it's a good reminder as facilitators, we want our people to feel like that is not only permitted, but that is encouraged in the space. And in order for our people to feel that, it's not just that we say it, but that really we're not attached to being the smartest person in the room or the one that knows everything. No. Good. Jessica saying in the chat, the explanatory pieces increase your motivation. After hearing the explanation, you start wanting to apply it to myself. Yeah, that's the sneaky, right? Like building desire when, we always want to give reasons for in groups in particular. We always want to give reasons for everybody in the group to want to do the exercise. So part of the explanation and the teaching is building the like, there's something in this for you if you're willing to stretch and do this. Okay. What are some of the pieces practitioner-wise around boundaries that you're taking with you that you want to be aware of when you're working with clients? Who wants to share? This will start to kind of be just a review of what we've looked at. So what was a concept that we looked at that was important to you? Jessica.
I'm sorry, I keep doing that. I really like the work that we did talking about the two extremes and really thinking about where are our boundaries too rigid and where are they too soft and weak? Because I just think that helped, like just saying boundaries, I don't know, for some reason, just having that level of detail made it less provoking too. Like I think saying, oh, you have bad boundaries feels defensive, but saying like can easily make people, including me, feel defensive. But saying like, you know, there's all these different places that boundaries can be, and some of them might be to this way and some might be to this way. And there's just something very empowering and beautiful about that, and not as judgy somehow.
I love that. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I agree with you 100% because it's all on a spectrum. It's all on the spectrum, right? So it's like we're already there. Like a boundary is happening, but how do we want to move it to make it more aligned? Good. Tina.
So many takeaways, but yesterday in particularly when you said that research showed that procrastination, people who procrastinate are actually over-motivated. That hit me so hard because it's true. I mean, because I'm one of those people, I always thought it was because I was going into fight or flight, you know, that's why I'm procrastinating, which it is, but I'd never looked at it from that perspective. And
it just made me feel more at ease with where it was coming from, you know? So thank you for that.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And I'm glad you're pulling this piece forward too, right? That procrastinators are actually over-motivated. They really want it. It's not that they're lazy or that they don't want it at all. Good. Who else? What concepts are important that you want to pull on? Inbal.
From today, that in many cases, having a weak boundary is a form of neglecting a part of yourself or not protecting a part of yourself. That it's like, getting to like, okay, so like, what is sacred that needs to be protected? Mm. Is a very different way of like, what are your needs? What are the goals in this relationship? Like, there's something, that feels like, not just deeper, like something else that I don't have where it feels like a much, like, really like a commitment to self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you put that. And I agree. I mean, I love the language of boundaries and needs or, you know, also, but it's another way of thinking of what a boundary is. It's a way of protecting something that is sacred and precious. And it gives a different feeling to it. Maria, I know it's late for you. Sending you love. Kim.
It's hard to let people be wrong about us. Where are we going to put our energy?
Yeah. Such a biggie. Mm-hmm. Right? And how much more energy would we have in our lives if we were okay with letting people be wrong about us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an important one.
Good. What other concepts? Caroline?
Just that I don't have to take from somebody else. Like that's the with the yoga pose, and it's not violent, it's not aggressive necessarily. It's just this protective bubble, and we can all have space in the yoga studio. On our mats or whatever.
That's right. We all have our own mat.
Yeah.
It's like whether the words were used or unspoken, there's something for so many of us of if I'm going to set a boundary, I'm harming or encroaching upon someone else. Mm-hmm. That's actually not, doesn't have to be true at all. Yeah. Good. Monique.
My practitioner takeaway is the fun and play in drawing. So many of us are just so up here in our heads, and it is such a great opportunity to like, okay, even though there's resistance in the drawing, it's just an opportunity that maybe some of us don't have.
Yes.
And I did it, and there were times when I didn't do it or that I changed it from drawing to journaling. So just giving someone an opportunity to try it on, see if it fits. There's no myth of perfection here. Whatever comes up is meant to come out and be.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad you're pulling on that. And that was one of the things that I wanted to come through. You know, for this retreat, we did a lot less journaling, but so many of the drawings we did, it could have been journaling questions. And I saw Melody wrote to that in the chat. Drawing is just another way of asking questions, right? So, and it can help sometimes bring other feeling. We're in sometimes the energy more, and then we create these archetypal images sometimes from the drawing that can bring an energy with it.
And just to add on to that, like the point that you made about it does force you to slow down.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. It's fun and it forces you to slow down. So
yeah, to actually be in it instead of, you know, been there. Okay, said that answer, but actually to be with it, which is what we want more of.
Yeah.
Nicole.
One of the big takeaways for me is, you know, just the simple reminder that my time is valuable. And, you know, really considering that graph paper image of the 90 years of weeks that we have, it was just such a motivation. So I'm leaving with a lot of motivation to get stuff done.
Yes. I'm so glad that you're bringing that in for two reasons. One, yes, everything you just said, right? My time is valuable. The other reason is that you reminded me I had wanted to say this before and I forgot. One of our jobs as practitioners is to model archetypally the wise warrior for our clients and take a stand for what is precious to them. I want to let that drop for a moment. So Nicole put it as like for herself, my time is valuable. As a practitioner, when we're working with a client who isn't protecting their time, who isn't upholding a boundary that that they really want to, we want to hold the energy of your time is valuable. And we want to hold the energy of your time is valuable, right? As they integrate that for themselves. Does that make sense? Kelly.
I feel like I'm taking away another level of the humanness of this work or the humanity of it, and just again being in this space as practitioner and student and client, and amongst like many other really skilled and amazing people, it's like every time I am blown away by how and I'm humbled by just like what it is to be a human on this path. And it just gives me such reverence, like speaking of sacred, like it just makes me feel like the work that we're doing in the world is so, so sacred. And what we're protecting is like something so precious, and these lives, but like, and again, just the ripple is like every one of us out there doing this work is like creating a different ripple into the universe. And it's like hard to human, and it's so beautiful. And so I'm really just taking away again the humility of walking this path. And it doesn't matter how far along you are, like you're still dancing with whatever. And it's just such a place of seeing clients or like in practitioner seat, like seeing them is so whole and beautiful and perfect and on their path and with this opportunity for healing.
So beautifully said, and I couldn't agree more. And I know each of you hold in your own way spaces like this one, and really this world needs more spaces like the ones that we all hold. Because exactly what Kelly said, like because of the humanness in it. Anything else around the warrior work or exercises? As I said in the beginning yesterday, you're not kind of walking out with just like one technique from this retreat, but a more of an understanding and different entry points into supporting yourself and clients with boundaries and ways of integrating so much of what we've learned over this year in different ways. Carlita, I want to give you an opportunity if you want any last words, because after this we're going to go into like final integration of the program, and so you can, not that I'm kicking you off, but you can hop off at that point since you haven't been journeying with us for the year. But any last words or takeaways that you want to share?
As usual, like being in any of these retreat spaces with you is just so surprising and magical. And yeah, there's just something about it. I'm really approaching it from just a personal perspective this past year, much more than from a practitioner standpoint, although it's always trickling in that direction. But it's always just like, I mean, it's changed my life. Like I was in the shadow retreat in March of 23, and it's just been amazing to see how things have unfolded literally very differently in my journey because of this stuff. So it'll be very interesting to see what unfolds from moving forth from this. You know, I'm excited to bring that forward and yeah, just see what happens. It's always so powerful. So thank you for that. And thank you all for including me in your space. It's really cool to get to connect with all of you. And like I said earlier, just I wish I could have been with you this past year, just because it's like, oh, look at this treat of a being and this one and this one. Like it would have been cool to hang out all year. But let me be with you this week.
Thanks, Carlita. I can't wait to see the magic that continues to move through. I'm so glad you were able to make it. Okay, even though I don't want to, it is time for us to move towards the finish line of Advanced 2023. And there is no way, even if we had, you know, 2-3 hours to fully honor and write out all the different takeaways from the year, and it would never be enough time and space for all that has changed and shifted and grown and been planted and the things that have come to fruition and the connections that have been made and the self-compassion and the self-love that has been, that has grown and the action steps that have been taken. So we're gonna kind of be to the point, but get hopefully, you know, exactly what we need from this last stretch of time. And I'll start by just having you think back to when we started a year ago. It was last summer. And think about where your life was then. What was happening in your life, summer of 2023. And who you were. Take a moment and locate where you are now. And there are many things that may still be the same. And there are also many things that are different. And think about what you've moved through in your life in general over this last year. And then how that's been informed by the work that we've done, which, as I told you in the beginning, and I'm going to say this again, this whole year, if we could, you know, say to me what I think it is in one phrase or sentence, is a reclaiming of all the parts of yourself. Whether we looked at befriending fear or choosing your own journey, or the archetypal work and the dream work, the devil work, the shadow work, this work that we've done over these 2 days, all of it, there was so much to it, but at its core, it was about you accepting, owning, loving more parts of you, and then bringing that wisdom to your clients so that they can own, accept, and love more of who they are and have more of themselves to take action in the world. So from this place, take a moment and jot down, how are you different? What have you learned for yourself? What would you like to celebrate? Put that in the chat. How are you different? What have you learned for yourself? What would you like to celebrate? Jessica, I think we started in July, but now I can't remember. So we're not going to get everything, but give you another minute or two. What are some of the important things? And the how are you different? It might not be yet a complete transformation, right? Even if it's seeds and next steps, it counts very, very, very much.
What was that last question?
I was saying, for the how are you different, it's not only just about a complete transformation, right? Even if it's the next steps. If a year ago it wouldn't have even crossed your mind that you get to not have to struggle all the time, and now that is an idea that you are willing to believe that seems legitimate to you, that counts as a way that you're different. So take another half minute with that. Okay. And so now I want to hone in a little bit more on the practitioner piece. And it would take, you know, we'd be here for a very long time if we listed out all of the practitioner pieces that we've learned. So what I want to ask instead is this. This may have already came up through celebrations, but I want to ask specifically, what are some things from this last year that you want to celebrate when it comes to client celebrations or how you've shown up as a leader? So what are at least, you know, two significant client celebrations because of either the skills that you've been learning or the energetics and the wisdom that you've been bringing? We call them client or business celebrations. Give you another half minute on that one. Okay. So with the understanding that everything you wrote down is really just a percentage, a fraction of all the ways that you've shown up, all that you've learned, all that has changed and has started to change and grow, all of the devotion, I want to give us all just an opportunity to honor that we've continued to show up and to honor all of this in all the ways. Honor everything you've written down and more. And so if it's okay to close your eyes, close your eyes. Let's take a moment and honor yourself for being that messy human who has continued to show up. And honor yourself for all that you've moved through in this last year. All of the learning, all of the stretching, all of the hard, hard moments this last year has brought. All of the beauty. And from this place, if there was one sacred promise that you wanted to make for yourself moving forward as we step out of this container, what is that sacred promise to you? And seal it in. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. I wish Suzanne was still here. She had a headache earlier, but because I'm putting the timer on and we're going to have each a minute to share anything that you want to share. Biggest takeaway, sacred promise, whatever feels important to you. I'll start at the bottom of the alphabet this time. So Wendy, you're up first.
Wow, it's a lot here. It's a big change from where I was in the summer, and just learning that it's okay that things aren't perfect, and to grow and just to start and move forward and show up and I'm looking at the time it's okay to like be confident and not cocky, and I've done some things that were definitely out of my comfort zone this year, and I just, my sacred promise is just to keep moving forward, learning, and taking care of my little inner Wendy. Yeah.
Yes, to all of that. You have such a right to be confident. Yes. Vlada.
I love that I'm going after Wendy. She is one of my places to be held. I'm so grateful for this community and for us being able to come together and share messiness in person and making some really beautiful friendships that I hope will be growing. But the biggest thing is I understand how to start being seen, which is I have to see myself first, just really see myself and love myself and have no judgment. And that's the first step. Yes. Really. Just love that space and everything comes from there.
Yes. So profound, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Veronica.
Celebrations. So I'm starting with, I have a client who started off in our engagement not being able to own any of his own brilliance or feel okay celebrating anything. He was in a workplace that didn't see or value him. His didn't have trust in his marriage. He's now about to graduate from our engagement, feeling like a whole different person, owning and celebrating all of his big and small accomplishments, transitioned into a totally different job who's valued him from day one. And he showed up, he's changed how he showed up in his marriage so much that it's just completely transformed their relationship. He's so centered and easeful, and I'm so proud of the work that he's done and that what we did together. So I'm celebrating that. And just all of these connections and the feeling of being held by you all in this container. I love and value you all so much. Thank you.
Love hearing that celebration. Yes, you're an incredible practitioner. Tina.
I love what Vlada just said, to be seen, you have to see yourself first. And I think that's what a lot of what happened with me since last July. I have taken really good inventory of all my success and my growth, because truly I was one of those people that just accomplished a thing and then went on to the next thing and had a hard time celebrating it at the moment to really take it in. And I have definitely come to a place where I'm owning my wisdom this year, and I'm shifting from that. Not that warrior energy is bad. I've had to have a lot of it, like probably even in utero. And I feel like I'm just so ready to shift into that queen seat. And I feel that's where my transition is now. And part of that journey is I've niched down, really. I see my time's up, but I niched down, and that's part of the journey.
I see you already sitting on your throne. Nicole.
I am still not feeling all that well, so I don't have much to say right now, but I just want to say thank you, Joanna, for modeling how we can hold our own parts that are hurting and suffering. And I'm just reminded of how well you do it, how well you show us how to do it, and how that has been something that I'll be taking with me, because that's been a, an area in which I've grown over the past year. So thank you, Joanna.
So welcome. And it's incredible. It has just been a privilege to watch you move there more and more. Monique.
Tears. So many things to say, not enough time. My superwoman thanks you. Mama Bear, you are the energy that I have needed for so long. I didn't know I was missing it. I think you have been a pillar of strength, an invisible pillar of strength in my life that I have not probably used. So just thank you for all of that. This has been a great community. I have so many things to say, not enough time. I'm just moving through a lot. I can be both crybaby Sally, damsel in distress, and superwoman in the exact same breath. And I think that's big right there.
Yes, it's huge. You can, and you deserve to be supported and helped. Michelle Ritter Taylor.
For a long time, I've had this goal of being soft with myself, and all the things we work on and have worked on, and now I've done it for 2 years, they're all the ways to bring in those parts of myself to be soft with. And I'm totally different. And like my sort of difference besides being soft with myself is like I'm less chasing something outside of myself and more just being with myself. And I really am able to bring that softness into my treatment room with when people are on my table and they're experiencing pain, they're whatever's going on, and just working with them to just soften a little bit and just to bring them into loving those parts of themselves that they really are not wanting to love, or maybe they can't love it at that moment. But they can at least entertain the notion that they don't have to hate it.
Yes. And it's been incredible to watch you, Michelle, move more towards the softness and the knowing that's what's inside of you that counts the most. So no doubt that that's coming out in your work as well.
Thank you.
Michelle C.
I'm sort of at my capacity, and but I can tell that the skills I gained this past year and how my practice looks is evidence that shifts and breakthroughs and transformation is happening. I'm just in the in a process of healing a fractured part of myself that I realized today, the sensitive one. So just healing that and just feeling a little shame from my overshare earlier, and just being, and that's just me, nothing that was from anyone. But that's part of this healing, the sensitive one. So just being present with that and holding space for myself that I can go right after this into major dysregulation, but I won't.
Sensitive one and all the ways that you're holding yourself.
Thank you.
Melody.
When we started a year ago, I was in complete and utter upheaval with everything going on in my life. And now I'm more settled, and I definitely kind of know where I'm going and what I want to do. And that has been really primarily based on a lot of the things that we've done in this course. It brought together everything for me. And so I know where I'm going. And that has been, I have such gratefulness. Then there's been so much growth and healing, so much more self-awareness and confidence and acceptance and willingness to really go deep, huge curiosity and a lot of courage and no denial about going there and seeing just how it serves me. So grateful for that. I feel like a completely new person, and that there's hope, which I also am trying to bring to others.
And that part of you that is willing to say exactly what you're thinking. Kim.
When we started last year, it seems a very long time ago for me. I was still wintering through the loss of my mother, and I feel like I'm just now like starting to come out of that, and it's been quite the process, and I feel like I've really grown in my visibility and participation. And I remember in Sacred Depths, I think I was so scared to share like every time. And so this loving community has been so wonderful, and it was so great to see each other in person, half of you. Really grateful for that opportunity. And Joanna, thanks for holding so much space for us to grow and loving us.
Jessica.
Oh, wait, is Kelly?
Oh, I missed Kelly. Sorry, Kelly.
Hey, I don't quite have words right now, but I think a really big like overarching thing is feeling that my care and love for the world fits in the space of care and love for myself as well. And this has been such a year, and in some ways I have felt taken to my knees in this space and the friendships here and the incredible facilitation that you've done, Joanna, have just like held me in a way that feel like it's really making space for up-leveling the community around me and my hopes and expectations for the kind of relationships that I can have. And I am celebrating big shifts with clients and the ways that I'm working with them that I like get excited about resistance now and launching a really kick-ass program to a very tiny group, but we are like moving it forward and leading a lot of people through Befriend Your Fear and my keynote. And and celebrating my queen bitch and boundaries and joy and magic.
Yes. Yes to all of that. Jessica.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is in the last year, I feel like I'm embodying my inner leader. And I don't know how much is different on the outside. Well, actually a lot is different, but but I think what feels really different is just that I feel like I'm not standing to the side of that person. I feel much more like it's inside of me and that I can call on it, both at work and with my kids. And, you know, I think that this happened to coincide with a leadership development track that I put myself on through my job, that it just synced up really well. And I'm now going on a retreat next week for my job. So although the job is now only 3 hours a week, so I'm also not doing my job, which is perfect. So that's it.
Really, I can feel that for you, that it's almost like you've synced up with yourself in a much deeper way. Inval.
I think in the last year, I'm really honoring my ability to hold so much complexity and compassion, where it's like, you know, there's this whole theme of belonging when I'm taking actions and doing things that are, you know, ostracizing myself and getting myself shut out with the family, the original systems. And so I've found so much courage and clarity in myself, and so much fucking discomfort. And I think that's one of the things with my family. It's like, I'm scared too. So I'll just honor that.
Big, and I feel like it gets to the heart of so much of what you've been working on these 2 days too, just next level of it, just having that courage to not belong to and know that you're okay. Greg.
I'm celebrating the permission I've given myself to show up and be seen. And it's something that I've always done for my clients, and I've had on a conceptual cognitive level in me, but now it's a more embodied, engaged level where it's like, okay, I don't have to have all the answers to show up. I don't have to know how to do it. And I can start, and I can be excited about, quote, mistakes or missteps, and I can be excited about how great I show up at times, and really taking actions, whether that's in how I show up for clients or how I'm showing up in my writing or anything else in my life.
Yes. And when you said giving yourself the permission to be seen, the first thing that flashed to me, Greg, was you being willing to read your archetype evocation to us and just being in so much of your power and brilliance and letting us see you in all of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Deva.
I just want to thank everybody so much for this sacred space together and this community. And just so much has unfolded from all of this group, and then also the facilitation or the life-changing courses, which so many people were in. And just a deep bow to you, Joanna, for modeling, holding space and containers and groups and for so much love and so much integrity in the way that you've enabled all of us to grow and learn. And I would say, let me see, I wrote down, as I grow, shine, and gain more limelight, I continue to honor, protect, and nourish my sacred heart and childlike wonder.
Deserve so much protection and honor.
Thank you,
Caroline.
So thank you. I just want to just say thank you so much to you, Joanna, and to everybody here, because it's really been, I think everybody has said this, but I'll say it again, it really is a special group of people. It's a special place to be, for sure. I've learned so much. Lots of seeds have been planted. I don't know where they're going to go necessarily, and that's okay. And yeah, I think that's really it in a nutshell. Thank you.
Something about the way you just said, I don't know, and that's okay, that reminded me of your shadow that you were working with. Well, I want to thank each of you for all that you have brought, and for as much as each of you have received, I have also received equally as much from being with you and from your wisdom and just from your being willing to show up. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Endings are always bittersweet. I feel like there's so many things to celebrate and that we're all taking with us, and also and you know, then there's the other part of it, which is that this is the last time this circle in this incarnation, and I really wanna honor the circle. In so saying, the work of this circle is done, but really only just begun. May you return to your ordinary lives, extraordinary humans. May you walk with the knowing in your heart that you have a right to protect what is precious to you, and that you get to have all the parts of you. They are all important and vital and needed for you and the world. May you remember how sacred you are. And may you always remember to connect. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. So much love, so many hugs all around. So I know that I will be seeing some of you in various different ways, in embody, in navigating client resistance. I also know that even if I'm not going to see you in those containers, that we will be psychically seeing each other and energetically seeing each other, and that we will be keeping in touch as well. I am always, always, always here. You are all considered inner circle at this point. I am a relationships person. I want to stay in touch and in contact. And if anybody does have any questions about embody, feel free to reach out. So much love, and I know I'll see you all soon.
Thank you.